welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. There's sitcoms coming up in this hour. Later on, A Date with Judy from 1946. But first, it's the show My Friend Irma, a CBS broadcast from April 2nd, 1951, called The Psychiatrist.
And now Pepsodent, film-removing Pepsodent, presents My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane.
Said you cannot tell wherein lays the pearl by the looks of the oyster. If you study my roommate Irma Peterson, you'll know it's true. Because you can look at that pretty head of hers all day long, but there's no way to prove there's a brain inside of it. Now, don't get me wrong, because I love Irma. But there are times when... Well, take the other day. I was reading the paper, and I said to Irma, listen to this, honey, listen. Radio-guided shells are being used in war. And Irma said...
That's ridiculous. What good is a radio in a shell once it lands, the program's over?
Well, I don't know about guided missiles, but if you want to know something that's good on the bristles of your toothbrush, why don't you try Pepsodent?
Now you're...
with Irma again, and the kid is walking on air. I've never seen her so happy. That's why I'm watching her like a hawk. When she gets giddy, anything can happen. Uh-oh, she's turned the shower on. I better check. Irma, you've done it again.
Done what?
Taking a shower with your clothes on.
Oh, gosh. Help me, Jane.
Okay, turn around. Irma, what's the matter with you?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I'm just excited about having Al back. So wonderful to be in love. I can hear my heart beating in my head.
Well, get it back down where it belongs. It's making you punchy.
Huh?
Never mind. Here's your robe, honey.
Oh, thanks, Jane. Will you help me pick out a dress for tonight?
Sure, sweetie. Well... Where's the big sport taking you tonight?
Oh, dinner and dancing.
Dinner and dancing? You kidding? What's he going to do, split a hot dog with you in front of a jukebox?
Of course not. This is the real thing. He got a job today.
Yes, I know, and I have just been made head elephant girl for the King of Siam.
Well, I'll get it. Hello? Oh, hello, Al, honey. What a coincidence. You know, I was just telling Jane about your new job. How is it? You quit? Oh, why, Al? It's not steady. What do you mean it's not steady? Oh, they have the right to lay you off when you're 65. No, don't you come over tonight.
There go the tears again. You know, I'm going to get you a pilot's license and rent you out as an artificial rainmaker.
But, Jane, I can't help it. I love him.
Oh, Cookie, he's nothing but a lazy bum.
I know, but he's so sweet. Besides, he has other qualities.
Sure, so does a flat tire. It gives a patch something to do. Sweetie... I don't want to start a lecture, but do you think it's right for a full-grown, perfectly healthy man to make loafing a lifetime career?
Well, no, I guess not. You know what, Jane? Something just occurred to me. I don't think Al is normal.
All right. Now that the two of you have discovered the secret of your compatibility... What are you going to do about it?
Well, I don't know, Jane, but I got to do something because I love him.
Irma, if you feel that strongly about him, maybe you ought to get him to a psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist?
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe when Al was a baby, he was frightened by a time clock.
Well, what does a psychiatrist do?
Well, honey, they're doctors. They heal sick minds. Maybe Al has some kind of psychosis or neurosis. He might be a paranoiac or even a schizophrenic.
No, Jane, if I'm not mistaken, his whole family are Republicans.
Oh. No, honey, I don't think that's the blame. It's quite possible that somewhere in Al's head there's a mental block that makes him hate work. Where did I put that address of Dr. Melvin? He's a reputable psychiatrist. Here it is. Here.
All right, Jane, but how am I going to tell Al he's a blockhead without hurting his feelings?
Irma, when you get him to the doctor, ask him if he's got a special rate for two and give yourself a treat. Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Jane, you know, my two little gamblers. One flipping a coin to heads, the other with a head that's flipped.
Professor.
No, excuse me, Jane. A little joke to celebrate April Fool's Day.
Yesterday was April Fool's Day.
Oh, no, it must be today because when I turned my faucet on, water came out.
Yeah, the same thing happened to Irma a few minutes ago, only she had her clothes on.
What?
Hmm.
Professor, do you ever go to a psychiatrist?
Me? Never. In this, I don't believe. They make you lay back and close your eyes and tell the man your life story. And for this, they charge you good money.
Yes.
You know, for a dollar, I can do the same thing in the barbershop and get a shave in the bargain.
Please, Professor, don't discourage her. She wants Al to see a psychiatrist, and I'm all for it.
Well, now, maybe a psychiatrist might do him some good. You've tried everything else. Like the time you got him into a game of blind man's bluff and walked him over to the employment office.
I was in with me little darling.
My goodness, Irma, if you're going to a psychiatrist, take me. I need treatment, too.
What?
Yes, I could swear I just heard the mating call of an elephant. Hello, girls.
Hello, Mrs. O'Reilly. My, you're in fine voice today.
Thank you. I just love to sing the Tennessee Waltz.
No, please, Mrs. O'Reilly, if you sing that Tennessee Waltz once more, Tennessee will waltz right out of the Union.
Oh, don't be such an old sourpuss. It wouldn't hurt you to sing once in a while instead of playing those practical jokes on me all the time.
Practical jokes? What did he do now?
Well, I had a couple of my petticoats hanging on the line, and he put a sign on them. We'll sell to the highest bidder, complete set of sails for 5-masted schooner.
And I could have sold them, too, if they weren't an off-size. Yes, that is so.
Oh, please, now, don't argue. I have a problem.
Oh, I'm sorry, Irma, darling. What's wrong?
Well, it's Al. Jane thinks if I take him to a psychiatrist, might help him keep a job.
Well, I think it's very sensible. Irma, darling, them psychiatrists are doing wonderful work. I know they help me.
Oh, did you go in for treatment?
Yes. Years ago, I had a bad shock. And there was a period when I thought I was a chicken.
A chicken?
Yes, I'd run around the house flapping my arms and clucking.
Well, how did he cure you?
Well, at that time, the price of eggs dropped so low, he convinced me that it wouldn't pay me to stay in the business.
Miss O'Reilly, when you go to a psychiatrist's office, just what do they do?
Well, you lay back on a couch and the doctor asks questions about your life. Takes you way back to your early childhood.
How much food do you take with you?
Food?
Mrs. O'Reilly, if anybody goes back to your childhood, it would be impossible to make that long trip without something to eat on the way.
Oh, mind your own business. Irma, darling, I hope the psychiatrist can do Al some good. But you got to be careful how you handle the situation.
I do?
Yes. I had trouble with my late husband, Clancy, when I tried to get him to see a psychiatrist.
Why? Did he need treatment?
Well, it started when I was his nurse. He'd just had an operation on his eyes, and in the hospital we fell madly in love and got married.
Oh, how romantic. He fell in love without ever seeing you.
Yes. But when we came home and removed the bandages from his eyes, he began to crack. Every time I walked into the room, he tried to put the bandages back on.
Yeah, and from this comes the expression, a sight for sore eyes. From the book, What Makes Clancy Run.
Oh, quiet, you. This is not helping Irma's problem.
Gosh, I don't know how to tell Al he needs a psychiatrist because, gosh, he's so proud of his mind.
Well, I don't blame him. I always thought it was valuable.
You did?
Sure, I firmly believe that someday there'll be a price on his head.
Oh, thank you, Jane. You've given me confidence. I'm going right out and talk to him. Oh, here's a place. The Waldorf. I hope he's in.
Yes, lady, can I help you?
Is this the Waldorf pool room?
Yeah. Hey, you're Al's girl, ain't you?
Yeah. Is he here?
Third aisle right, fifth table.
Thank you, sir.
Hiya, chicken.
Hello, Al, honey.
Be with you in a minute. One more shot and I'll have the table clean.
Oh, Al, can't you make your shot and clean the table later? I want to talk to you.
Meet it. Now, what's on your mind, chicken?
No, Al, nothing's on my mind. I'm thinking about your mind.
Well, what do you mean?
I want to take you to a psychiatrist with me.
Me to a psychiatrist? What for? I ain't got no frustrations. I'm a happy guy.
Well, how can you be happy when I'm so miserable?
Chicken, why should you be miserable? You got me, ain't you?
Well, I don't like the way you behave.
You don't?
Maybe you got one of those diseases in your head, like paregoric, or new roses, or you might even be a wiener schnitzel.
Chicken, a wiener schnitzel is something with an egg on it.
Well, maybe you're just in the early stages. Yeah. You ever go around saying, cluck, 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 cluck?
Chicken, who have you been talking to?
Well, maybe it's something you don't know about, something that will happen in your early childhood.
Well, of course, when I was a baby, I did fall out of my high chair.
Then that's it. You couldn't go to work that day. You've been afraid to take a job ever since.
That's a lot of malarkey.
But, Al, you like to sleep all day. I think that's abnormal.
Oh, you do? Do you know how long a grizzly bear sleeps in the winter? 4 months. And when you go to the zoo, do you ever see a sign on his cage saying, sorry, bear out to see a psychiatrist? No, chicken, forget that stuff.
Then you can forget about me.
What?
If you don't think enough of me to see a psychiatrist, you and I are through.
Oh, well, chicken, since you put it that way, okay, I'll go.
Oh, Al, you're wonderful. Here's your dress.
Yeah, now, hold it. When a man is condemned, he should at least have the privilege of naming his own executioner. I'll get my own psychiatrist.
Well, I know you won't be sorry, Al. And when they ask you to make your mind a blank, don't be frightened. Just think of me.
Yeah. Al won't go to Dr. Melvin, the psychiatrist I recommended. He's picked one of his own. And if he's anything like any of the other medical men Al knows, I don't want to be there. You know, he took Irma to one of his doctor friends one time. You know what the examination consisted of? He lifted her foot and said there was nothing wrong with her. All she needed was a new set of horseshoes. Oh, this is one cookie who will never trust that Al too far.
Hello, Al. You sent for me.
Yeah, Mushy, I need your help. Have to see a psychiatrist.
Well, Al, that's nothing to monkey about. If you need eyeglasses, get them.
No, Mushy, psychiatrists don't make glasses. They work on your head.
Oh, I guess I was thinking of a chiropodist.
Yeah.
What's wrong with your head, Al? Did you work under a blackjack?
Nothing's wrong with my head. I'm just doing this to please Chicken. Yeah. But got to do it my way.
Who you calling, Al?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al, got a problem. Do you know a good, competent psychiatrist? Honest, trustworthy, and reliable, who will do anything for a buck? You do? Dr. R.B. Pringle, Ph.D., LLD, and SS. What's the SS for, Joe? Oh, right now he's in Sing Sing. No, need somebody right away. You see, got to find somebody who will tell Chicken that if I take a job, I may drop dead immediately. What? You think you got the right man for me? Well, who is he? Mm-hmm. Your wife's brother, Leonard, but he's an upholsterer. Oh, he has an extra couch and owns a frock coat. Good deal, Joe. Well, look, tell him to put up a sign, Dr. Leonard, psychiatrist. What? Spell it? S-I-K-I-T-R-A-S-T. So long, Joe, and thanks for everything. Oh, that Joe is one in a million. Always comes through.
Yeah, I remember the time when he saved my life.
Joe saved your life?
Yeah. By mistake, I made a date with my girlfriend Violet and my girlfriend Libby at the same time in front of the same drugstore. You know, they both loved me, Al.
Well, did they know about each other?
No. Ain't I a dog?
Mushy, what happened?
Well, I was sure both girls would kill me when they spotted Joe. I give him the high sign. Quick as a flash, he robs the drugstore, slips the gun into my pocket, points me out to the cops, and before I know it, I'm safe in jail. What's he doing for you, Al?
Nothing that drastic. Look, Mushy, you can help me.
Well, sure, Al. What do I got to do?
You go see Leonard the upholsterer in the Baxter building on 4th Avenue. Tell him I'm a friend of Joe's, and then when I get down there for a treatment with Chicken, he's got to tell me I'm allergic to work.
All right, Al. Gee, you're smart.
Thanks, Mushy.
Too bad you wasn't a school teacher. You could have done a lot for kids. So...
Clyde, attorney at law.
Oh, hiya, Chicken. Al Z. Wells there.
Oh, hello, Al, honey. Did you get an appointment with the psychiatrist?
Everything's fixed, Chicken. It's Dr. Leonard in the upholstery... the Baxter building. Meet you there at 5 o'clock, huh?
Oh, Al, I know it's going to make a big difference in our lives.
Sure, Chicken. And you can depend on me. Whatever that doctor prescribes, I will do.
You will?
Yep. If he wants me to cut out smoking, we'll cut out smoking. Wants me to cut out drinking, we'll cut out drinking.
Attaboy, Al.
Wants me to cut out necking, we'll cut out necking.
Al, do you think we're doing the right thing?
Can't back out now, Chicken. And if he wants me to go to work, I'll go to work. And, of course, if he don't want me to go to work, I won't go to work, huh?
Oh, Al, you're so brave.
Miss Peterson.
Just a minute, Mr. Clyde. I've got to hang up now, Al. I'll see you at the doctor's. Goodbye.
Come here, Miss Peterson.
Yes, sir.
Look at this letter. I told you to order a Maytag washing machine for my wife. I said Maytag, not April Tag.
Well, I thought it'd be cheaper if we got an older model.
I didn't ask you to think. I said Maytag, and that's what we want.
Well, then you'll have to wait 30 days. May won't be here for another month.
Another month of this, and I won't be here. You get that letter out immediately.
All right, but I'll have to wait until the carbon paper dries.
What?
Well, every time I touch it, my fingers get dirty, so I'm washing all the black stuff off the paper.
You idiot! That black stuff is carbon. That's what makes the copies. Now, how are you going to get duplicates of my letters?
Well, I have a camera. We can take pictures.
Oh, no.
Mr. Clyde, why are you shaking that way?
I just took a samba lesson from Arthur Murray. Listen, you idiot.
Calm down, Mr. Clyde. Can I get you a glass of water?
No, the last time you gave me a glass of water, you were using the water cooler for an aquarium, and I swallowed 3 goldfish. You better get those letters out. I'm leaving.
Where are you going?
I don't know. I may get a crew haircut, lie about my age, and get myself drafted. Goodbye.
Milton J. Clyde, attorney at law, Miss Peterson speaking.
Hi, sweetie. This is me, Jane.
Oh, hello, Jane.
Honey, I have a date to go dancing with Steve tonight at the Spring Festival. I don't have any white shoes. Could I borrow yours?
Oh, certainly, Jane, but you'll have to be awfully careful not to step on Steve's toes.
What?
I had ice skates attached to those shoes.
Oh, no. No, sweetie, not those shoes. Your white dancing pumps.
Oh, those, sure, Jane. They're in the clothes closet.
Thanks, honey. Did Al see the psychiatrist yet?
No, I'm meeting him there at 5 o'clock. Gosh, if Al does all right, maybe I should take a treatment, too.
No, Cookie. Psychiatrists are pretty busy these days. They don't have time to go to each other for treatments. Bye.
Goodbye.
Gee, Leonard, how do you rate this nice office?
Yeah, the dopey landlord don't even know I'm here. I took down the for rent sign and put up the psychiatrist sign I made.
Oh, that's real funny. Now, look, don't forget, when Al comes here, you got to say he must never work or he will die.
Yeah, you told me all that, man. Uh-huh. Look, the four them words a real psychiatrist use. Yeah. Frustrations, complex, subconscious. Yeah. Hey, what time is it, Mushy?
4:30.
Well, watch your store, will you? I'm going out to put $2 on an egg.
Gosh, I wish I had $2. Oh, a full-length mirror. Oh, you beautiful doll. You great, big, beautiful doll.
Pardon me. Yeah? I seen your sign. Are you a psychiatrist?
Was you ever to a psychiatrist before?
No.
I'm the psychiatrist. We're having a special sale today. $2.
Well, I don't know if you can help me. I have headaches, and my boss said I should see somebody.
Well, just what seems to be the trouble?
Well, they say I have a complex.
That's right. You've got a beautiful complex. What kind of soap do you use?
Huh?
Never mind. Now, let's see. Who's supposed to lie on the couch, you or me? I think it's you. Would you like to lie on the couch?
All right.
Well, that'll be 15 cents extra. My bookie lives in New Jersey, and I got to make a toll call. it's just a federal tax. Now, lie on this couch and relax. Try to sleep, will you?
All right.
Yeah, I'll help you. Rock a baby on the treetop. Go to sleep, my baby.
Hey, just a minute.
Huh?
Where are you going with my pocketbook?
I was just looking for your subconscious.
Oh, yeah? Well, if you ask me, I think you're a phony. I want my pocketbook.
Hey, Mushy, what's going on here?
I'm going to call a cop.
Hey, what are you people doing in here?
Oh, it's the landlord. I'm sorry, Mr. Davis.
Never mind the excuses. This place has been rented. Get out of here, all of you. Go on. I'm sorry, Mr. Stevens. I thought the door was locked.
Oh, that's all right. I understand.
Well, by the way, that sign you wanted saying employment agency will be ready tomorrow.
That's all right. I'll just sit at this desk and do some preliminary work.
Fine.
Don't you worry, Mr. Davis. I'll be a good tenant. I'm going to have the most successful employment agency on this street.
Well, chicken, this is the address. Now, remember, when we walk in, whatever the psychiatrist tells me to do, I will do.
That's a spirit, Al.
Neither you nor me will question the decision.
I promise, Al.
Okay, let's go. Well, good day, sir. I am Al, and I am ready. What do you suggest?
Well, there's nothing wrong with you that a good job won't fix.
Well?
Report tomorrow morning at the shipyards.
Oh, Al, isn't that wonderful? Doctor, he's so happy he fainted.
Well, Al threw a boomerang and it almost knocked his head off. I don't know whether he's going to take the job, but the whole thing had a great effect upon Irma. She thinks psychiatrists are just wonderful. In fact, she went to one today. What happened, honey?
Oh, a bunch of psychiatrists came in the room and looked at me. I don't think they wash their hair very often.
What do you mean?
All the time they're examining me, they just stood around there scratching their heads.
Well, they just scratch their heads. Most of the time I bang mine against the wall. So would you, if you lived with my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma is a Cy Howard production. Mark Levy writes the script with Stanley Adams and Roland McLean, and is brought to you by Pepsodent Toothpaste with Arium, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company.
My Friend Irma, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 2nd, 1951 on CBS. The script written by Park Levy would be used again on the series in August of 1954. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for A Date with Judy, this episode called The Lecture, an NBC broadcast from October 22nd, 1946.
A Date with Judy, starring Louise Erickson as Judy and John Brown as father.
Hello?
Hello, Judy.
Randolph, my darling little brother. What did you find out?
Well, Tootsie's going to wear a pink taffeta with a high neck. She said that'll enable her to look like Jean Crane from the front.
Well, what about the back?
Well, it's cut way down in the back, and it's got a bustle, which Tootsie says will enable her to look like Lana Turner from that, side.
Oh, Randolph, my worst fears are realized. It isn't fair.
What is it?
Tootsie is going to look like two dream girls at the dance, and I'll just look like myself from both sides.
That's Judy, folks. Judy Foster, the lovable teenage girl who is close to all our hearts. It is a nice, peaceful evening at the Fosters for Judy's father, mother, and kid brother Randolph until Judy says...
Father.
Yes, Judy?
I have approached a crisis, and you are the only person who can help me.
Oh, really, dear?
Yes, Father. I'm facing destiny.
Destiny, huh?
Yeah, she faces it once a day and twice on Sundays.
Randolph, Mother, will you please speak to your younger child?
Of course. Good evening, Randolph.
Good evening, Mother.
Oh, Mother, you never discipline him.
Well, what's bothering you, Judy?
Well, Father, tomorrow night I am going to be a member of the most intellectual gathering of any gathering I've ever been a member of.
You are?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to attend the Gregory Hickson lecture.
Oh, Gregory Hickson. Who's he?
Well, Melvin, don't you know he's the authority on international relations?
Oh, yes, of course. International relations.
Do you suppose they're worse than our Ashtabula relations?
Randolph, really, if that's the best you can do, just don't try. That is the worst joke I have ever heard.
It certainly is, Randolph. I didn't even like it when your father told it 12 years ago.
Father, I feel I simply cannot go to this lecture without assistance from you. It's so terribly intellectual. I really need your help.
Oh. Intellectual, huh? Well, now, Judy, I wouldn't say I was any George Bernard Shaw.
I wouldn't say that either.
No, but it is true, Judy, that I do try to keep abreast of the times on literature, art, politics, all the important things.
I know you do, Father.
Oh, yes, indeed. Everybody should keep up on things. None of us should miss going to lectures. Why, when you realize how lucky we all are to have the opportunity of improving our minds. Well, Judy, I'm proud of you for taking such an interest in the worthwhile things.
Oh, thank you, Father.
Now, what shall I explain to you? Art? Politics? Music? What would you like to discuss first?
A red raincoat.
A red raincoat?
Mm-hmm. It's in the Bonton window, and it's just darling, Father. And it's just the thing to wear to the lecture tomorrow night, in case of rain.
Well, it's not going to rain, and that's final.
Oh, Father.
Well, anyway, Judy, if it does rain, your father can let us out in front of the auditorium and we'll wait for him in the lobby.
Yes, that's right. Wait for me? What lobby?
Well, Melvin, Judy just told you. The Gregory Hickson lecture tomorrow night at the Civic Auditorium.
I thought it was Judy who was going. What's got to do with me?
Well, I bought tickets for all of us. I assumed, of course, Melvin, that you'd want to go.
A man who keeps up on things like you, Father.
Oh, I do, I do. But,
Well, Dora, it might rain.
Well, now, Melvin, a little rain wouldn't scare you, would it?
How long is the lecture going to last?
Well, I don't know. An hour, I guess.
Oh, just an hour. Well, then, of course, I'll be glad to go.
And then 2 hours for discussion.
I wouldn't miss it for you. 2 hours for discussion? Oh, no.
Ho-hum. When you realize how lucky we are to have the opportunity...
Never mind, Randy. Dora, when did you say this lecture was?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Oh, tomorrow night. That's Wednesday.
The day before Thursday.
Oh, Dora, I am sorry, but I'm not going to be able to go after all. Oh, this is a shame.
Why not, Melvin?
I have a previous engagement.
Which he will make as soon as possible.
That's not so, Randy. You know, I told you, Dora, we were redecorating the lodge for the Benevolent Order of Bison.
Yes?
Well, the boys thought they could save the lodge some money if we all got together and did it ourselves. And Wednesday night is the night four of us are going to paint.
Oh, Melvin, couldn't they get along without you?
Dora, would you want me to shirk my duty?
No.
It's my obligation. They're counting on me. They need me.
And Father needs them.
Well, Melvin, if you feel you absolutely have to go.
Oh, I do, Dora, I do. I'm really sorry. Now, you and Judy, be sure to take very careful notes so you can tell me all about it. I wish I could go, too.
Oh, well, cheer up, Melvin.
It's such a disappointment.
Well, what if you do miss one lecture? I bought season tickets, and there are 9 more in the series you can go to.
Oh.
Foster, what kept you?
I'm sorry to be late, Emerson. I had to drop Dora and the kids off at that Hickson lecture.
Oh, I almost got stuck to go to that, too.
Well, I certainly was glad I had a good excuse.
Yeah, imagine 3 hours on international relations.
Yeah, I bet they're worse than my Ashtabula relations. Do you get it, Emerson?
I get it.
Oh, you do? Yes. Well, hand me a paintbrush and I'll get to work.
Foster, the darndest thing happened tonight.
It did?
Yeah. Nobody remembered to buy brushes.
No kid.
And here we all were, and our wives were all at the lecture.
Yeah.
We thought it would be so lonesome if we all just went home and sat.
Yeah.
And we couldn't go back and interrupt the lecture once it started.
No, we couldn't do that.
So
the other boys are waiting for us in the card room.
Foster, how did you guess?
Now, listen, boys. Let's not play for chicken feet tonight.
Now, Foster, take it easy.
Yeah, well, Emerson, when I play bridge, I like to gamble. Make it interesting. Now, Whiteman?
Yeah, I'm with you.
How about you, Peters?
You name it.
Attaboy. Shall we say, an 80th of a cent? Surely, Peters. You know, fellas, I've been looking at this place tonight. It's a big room. It might take us a long time to get it repainted.
You're right, Foster.
How long is the lecture series?
9 weeks.
I'd say it would take us about 9 weeks.
That's a swell idea.
One thing, though, we stick together in this. Nobody tells his wife.
You're darn right. And to cinch it, we better have a penalty.
Okay. What should it be?
Well, I've got an idea. The guy that spills the beans has to paint the lodge all by himself.
Holy mackerel.
Foster, it would take a guy a month to paint it by himself.
Yeah, that's a pretty steep price to pay.
Well, we have to make it stiff.
Well, all right. All
I
right.
Guess so. I think that's a pretty big forfeit, but okay.
Well, after all, fellas, I only suggested it for your protection, to protect you against your wives. After all, it's no problem in my house. When I want to play cards, I say to Dora, Dora, tonight I am going out to play cards. Yes, sir. Dora knows who's the head of the Foster house, sir. Oh, my gosh. What time is it?
11 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness. I promised to pick Dora up at 1:45. She'll be furious. She'll never forgive me. Oh, my goodness. Where's my coat?
Hey, Foster, we haven't played this hand.
Yeah, well, you play it for me. You're my partner. It ought to win the rubber. Now I have to get Dora. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, sir. I guess Dora knows who's the head of the Foster household.
Hello?
Hello, Foster. This is Whiteman.
Oh, Whiteman, yeah, I was just going to call you. How'd I do last night?
Well, Foster, I hate to tell you this.
Uh-oh. Bad news.
Yep. You paid for the party.
I did, huh? Mm-hmm. What'd I lose?
13 cents.
Oh, had me worried there for a while.
Pay Emerson.
Emerson?
Yes, he had the ace, king, queen, 6 times of diamonds.
Oh.
Yep. We went down 4 tricks on that hand you walked out on.
6 diamonds?
Wouldn't you think he'd have bit him?
Yeah, well, I can see why he kept still.
Well, I'll see you next Wednesday. Okay, Foster?
Oh, sure. Remember now, mum's the word.
Father, are you through with the phone?
How long have you been there?
Well, I just came in this minute.
Oh, well, that's fine, Judy, fine. Welcome home.
Thank you. I've got to make an important call to Mitzi regarding clothes. Father?
Yes, Judy?
Who's buying diamonds?
Diamonds? What diamonds?
Well, when I walked in the room, I heard you mention six diamonds. And naturally, when a girl hears about diamonds, she can't help but listen. Diamonds are so expensive.
They certainly are, Judy.
Are you, Father?
Am I what?
Are you buying the diamonds?
Who, me?
Mm-hmm. Is it a surprise?
Yes, it certainly is.
I heard you say mum's the word.
I did? I said that?
Yes, Father.
All right, I'll tell you, but you mustn't breathe a word of it to anybody.
Oh, I won't, Father.
You see, we fellows... No. It was this way. Ed Emerson is buying his wife a diamond bracelet for their wedding anniversary.
He is? A diamond bracelet? I can't believe it.
Neither can I.
Oh, but that's wonderful, a diamond bracelet. It's so romantic. It's such an imaginative gift.
It certainly is. Now, remember, Judy, not a word of this to anybody.
Oh, Father, you know how I am with a secret. Randolph, be honest with me. Do you think I'll ever be a woman of mystery, intrigue, and exoticness?
Well, to be honest with you, Judy...
Randolph, I've changed my mind. Don't answer that question.
Judy?
Yes, Mother?
I'm going out, dear. Mrs. Emerson called and wants me to drive her to the club.
All right, Mother.
She let Mr. Emerson take the car today. It's their wedding anniversary.
Now, there's a present for you.
She hasn't gone to the club in a year. I don't see why she had to pick today to go.
She probably wants to show off her diamond bracelet.
Her what?
Well, the diamond bracelet Mr. Emerson's giving her for their anniversary present.
He is?
Yes, Father told me. Only it was a secret.
It certainly was.
Randall, I wouldn't have said anything about it, except that if today's her anniversary, obviously Mr. Emerson has given it to her already. So, obviously, everybody will know about it anyway.
With Mrs. Emerson, obviously.
Well, it's all right to tell me, Judy. You know how I am with a secret.
Oh, I knew it'd be safe with you, Mother. Come on, Randolph.
Where are we going?
To my boudoir. I'm going to try on some new eyelashes, and I want you to tell me which length is most alluring.
Oh, the things I do for you.
I'll just give Mrs. Emerson a ring. Now, if she hasn't got it yet, I won't say a word.
All right, Mother.
Diamond bracelet. Now, that's what I call a present. My goodness, wait until the girls hear about... Hello, Mrs. Emerson. This is Dora Foster. I just wanted to tell you that I'll pick you up. Oh, Mrs. Emerson, you're crying. Oh, don't say things like that. I'm sure Mr. Emerson hasn't forgotten it's your anniversary. Well, I just happen to know that he's bought something perfectly wonderful for you. Yes, he has. Well, I got it on the best authority. Well, there's a first time for everything, even after 22 years. No, really, Judy heard it from her father, who heard it from Mr. Emerson, and just happened, accidentally, to tell me. Well, all right, but if I tell you, promise not to let on to Mr. Emerson that you know until he gives it to you. All right? It's a diamond bracelet. What do you think of that, Mrs. Emerson? Mrs. Emerson? Oh, good heavens, I think she's fainted.
Hello?
Foster?
Oh, hello, Emerson. I hear those diamonds kind of fixed you up the other night.
They fixed me up all right. Melvin Foster, you pay off or I'll sue.
All this fuss about 13 cents?
No, about a diamond bracelet.
Huh?
You told Judy I was buying my wife a diamond bracelet.
I told you... Oh, that. Oh, Emerson, that was just a little joke. Ha-ha.
Ha-ha yourself.
Well, I had to tell Judy something. See, she came in while I was talking to Whiteman about your diamond hat. Now, if I told her the truth, think what would have happened.
Think what has happened. Now my wife expects a diamond bracelet. And as long as you were so generous with my money, you can just go right out and buy her one.
Oh, now, Emerson, don't be ridiculous. I can't afford a diamond bracelet.
Okay, then. If that's the way you feel about it, you can paint the lodge.
Huh?
Yes, sir. You can paint it all by yourself, too. That was the deal.
Well, I can't take time off from my business to paint the lodge. Oh, now, look, explain to Mrs. Emerson. Tell her how Judy makes things up. Tell her it was all a mistake. Tell her...
You tell her. I dare you.
All right, I will. I'm not afraid of her. I'll just go right up and I'll say, Mrs. Emerson. I'll say, Mrs. Emerson.
Yes, Emerson. Foster, go on.
How much does a diamond bracelet cost?
Hello, Mr. Osgood.
Mr. Foster. what can I do for you?
I came in to see about a diamond bracelet.
A diamond bracelet, Mr. Foster?
Something sort of distinctive, but modest.
I have just the thing for you. It's beautiful, custom-made, exquisite.
That sounds fine.
And seeing that it's for you, Mr. Foster, I'll let you have it at half price.
Well, that sounds good.
Here it is right here.
Yes.
And to you, the price is...
Yes.
$5,000.
Well,
What? A special bargain to you.
I'll tell you, Osgood, I never believe in taking advantage of anybody. I don't feel I should accept the sacrifice.
Oh, now, Foster...
Show me something else. Something not quite so beautiful.
Foster, I've shown you everything I've got in the store.
I know.
Now, this here is the only bracelet I have in which I could set just one diamond.
Well, all right, I'll take it.
Fine.
Oh, say, I just happened to think. Guess what? You won't have to use one of your diamonds.
I won't?
No, I just remembered I've got a perfectly beautiful diamond chip in an old stick
pin. A diamond chip?
Yes, sir, you can put that in. Well, it'll look positively distinctive. Unique. Don't you think?
Don't worry, Mr. Foster. There isn't a doubt in my mind that this diamond bracelet will be the only one of its kind in the whole history of diamond bracelets.
Hello, Mr. Osgood.
Hello, Judy. How are you, Randolph?
Oh, I'm feeling a little middle-aged today.
What can I do for you kids?
Well, Mr. Osgood, this morning I said to myself, Judy Foster, I said, do you realize that Christmas will be here?
My sister talks to such interesting people, Mr. Osgood.
And then I said, Judy, you are so right. And just think how your whole dear family worries and worries about what to buy you for Christmas. Well, Mr. Osgood, I don't want my dear family to worry, so I quickly said to myself, what shall I do to keep my dear family from worrying about what to buy me for Christmas?
And you answered yourself, go and pick out the presents yourself.
Yes, Randolph, that's what I said. So, Mr. Osgood, I'll just sort of look around, if I may, and casually point out the things that I like. And should my dear family come in here to choose a present for me, you could sort of casually point out what I pointed out to you.
Well, now, Judy, that sounds like a very good idea. Start pointing.
I knew you'd understand, Mr. Osgood.
Sure, Judy. I've got a daughter myself. Say, incidentally, you tell your father I'll have that diamond bracelet ready earlier than I thought.
Diamond bracelet? My father?
Yes, he picked one out this afternoon.
My father did?
Yep.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. He spent the whole afternoon here.
Oh, come on, Randolph.
But, Judy, aren't you going to choose your Christmas present?
No, there's something I have to do. Thank you for everything, Mr. Osgood. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, goodbye, kid.
Randolph, I have a horrible premonition.
Well, take a glass of cold water. It'll probably go away.
When Father told me Mr. Emerson was buying a diamond bracelet for Mrs. Emerson, he looked very peculiar.
Oh, well, looks aren't everything. After all, Father does have a kind heart.
I don't think he was telling the truth.
Judy, our father?
Yes. And this confirms it. Randolph, I have just added 2 and 2.
What'd you get?
Father is really buying a diamond bracelet for Mother.
Come again?
Well, certainly. He just made that up about the Emersons.
But why would he do that?
Well, he was afraid I'd tell Mother and spoil a surprise.
Mm-hmm, it's possible.
But Randolph, wasn't that silly of him? He should know how I am with a secret.
Hello, children. Judy, Mrs. Emerson's never been so excited about anything in her life as she is about her diamond bracelet.
She got it?
No, but she's going to.
She is?
Judy, what do you mean? You said she was going to.
Mother, you mean you told her?
Well, yes, dear. I didn't intend to, but I was practically forced into it. And then she was so surprised she fainted. Imagine, fainting.
But, Mother, that's horrible. You see, I made a mistake. It isn't Mr. Emerson who's buying the diamond bracelet.
It isn't?
No, it's Father. He's buying it for you.
What? But, Judy, where would your father get the money for a diamond bracelet?
Maybe he sold his stamp collection.
Oh.
Well, Mr. Osgood said Father bought a diamond bracelet. And who else would he buy a diamond bracelet for whom?
Yes, who else for whom?
Well, I still don't believe it. I don't know where you get your ideas, Judy, but this is ridiculous. I'm not going to give it another thought.
All right, Mother.
Judy?
Yes, Mother?
Do you suppose I could still get into my black lace dress? Black lace just seems to go so beautifully with diamonds.
Hello?
Oh, Foster. Say, this is Whiteman. Oh? I hate to bother you at your office, but will you do me a favor?
Sure, what is it?
Well, you know, I'm in charge of all the furniture and stuff at the lodge while the redecorating is going on.
Yeah?
Well, I've been asking the different fellas to store some of our better things at their houses.
Well, I'll be glad to take anything you want. I got plenty of room.
That's swell. You can have the bison head.
The bison head? Oh, now, Whiteman, I'd certainly hate to have that thing staring me in the face every morning.
Well, that's the way we all felt. None of us wanted to do it, so the best thing we could do is to give it to the low man in the poker game each week.
Oh, now, Whiteman.
Now, Melvin, it's for the law.
No, I know, but...
It's our emblem.
Yes, but...
You should be proud to keep it, just as a matter of sentiment.
Yeah, well, maybe it'll come in handy if there's another meat shortage. Okay, Whiteman, I'll take it.
Thanks a lot, Melvin. I sure appreciate it. Mm. I sent it over to your house a little while ago.
Mother, just look at the package that came for Father. It's the diamond bracelet. I just know it.
Judy, in that box? Who'd ever wrap a diamond bracelet in a box that huge?
Father.
Yes, Mother. Why, you know how Father likes jokes.
Particularly old ones.
Remember the time he had my ring delivered in a barrel?
Well, that's right, he did, but a diamond bracelet is such an impossibility.
But Mr. Osgood said he bought one.
That's what the man said. He said that. That's what the man said.
Hello, everybody.
Father, you're home. Randolph, Father's home.
Sure, it's dinner time.
Mother, Father's home.
I see. Hello, Melvin. How are you?
I'm home.
We've been so eager for you to get home tonight.
Well, thank you, dear. Dora, did a package come this afternoon?
Yes, Melvin, it came.
Dora, I feel I should explain about it. I hope you won't think it's foolish.
Oh, Melvin.
You see, I just couldn't refuse. After all, it was a matter of sentiment.
Sentiment? Oh, Mother, I told you.
Oh, Melvin. Sentiment.
And Dora, I'm sure it won't worry you long.
Well, what do you mean by that, dear?
The finance company's going to take it back.
If you don't want it around, maybe you can store it in the attic.
Oh, Melvin, you and your little joke. Now, Melvin, you know I'm going to love it.
You are?
Why, of course I will. My goodness, what woman wouldn't?
Well, I can think of several.
Well, what other woman in town has one?
Well, yes, that's true, but...
Oh, don't think I'm not going to show it off. I'm going to wear it tonight, tomorrow night, and every night.
What?
And, Father, Mother says if I'm careful, I can borrow it sometime.
Good heavens.
Imagine me, Judy Foster, wearing diamonds.
Diamonds? What diamonds?
The diamonds in the package that came this afternoon.
Diamonds? That's a bison head.
For a bracelet?
No, for the mantle. It belongs to the lodge, and I have to keep it until, for a little while.
Oh, Judy, and you thought it was a diamond bracelet.
A diamond bracelet?
But, Mother, I really...
Oh, Judy, how your imagination does run away with you.
Oh, it never runs quite far enough.
And I was going to wear it tonight and every night.
Well, it'd certainly be something you in false faith in.
Well, this is the most ridiculous mix-up that this family's ever had. Melvin.
Yes, Doctor.
Just whom did you get the diamond bracelet for?
The diamond bracelet?
Yes, Father. The one you got for Mr. Osgood.
Mr. Osgood? Oh, Osgood. Oh, that diamond bracelet.
There are so many diamond bracelets in Father's life.
Well, Melvin?
Yes. I didn't get that one for you, Dora. I bought it for Mrs. Emerson.
What'd you say?
Yeah, I mean, I picked it out for Ed Emerson to give to Mrs. Emerson. He felt he needed some help.
Oh, Melvin, I'm so sorry. I should have figured that out myself. I don't know why I ever listened to Judy in the first place. After all, I know that you couldn't buy a diamond bracelet.
No, of course not.
Where would you get the money?
Where would I?
Oh. I'll get it.
Now, don't look so unhappy, Melvin. Diamond bracelets certainly don't fit our budget.
You know, Dora, you're certainly being swell about this. I wish I could buy you one.
I know you do, dear.
All right, I'll ask him. Father?
Yes?
Mr. Osgood's on the phone.
Mr. Osgood?
Yes. He says Mrs. Emerson didn't like the diamond bracelet you picked out for her one single bit.
Oh, Melvin, isn't that a shame?
Now she's picked out a more expensive one, and Mr. Osgood wants to make sure you're willing to pay for it.
What?
Oh, my.
Mr. Emerson says it's your problem, Father. What do you want me to tell him?
Judy, you tell Mr. Osgood your father will talk to him later. Much later. First, he's going to have a little talk with me.
Oh, Dora. Randolph.
Yes, Father?
Would you please ask your mother, the loveliest mother in the whole world, to please forgive me?
Oh, I'd be glad to. Mother, the loveliest mother in the whole world, will you please forgive me?
No, no, Randolph. Forgive me, your father.
Oh, sorry. Mother, the loveliest mother in the whole world, will you please...
Never mind, Randolph. Melvin, I don't know whether I should forgive you or not.
But I've explained the whole thing,
Well, it serves you right. Do you realize that you got into this whole mess just because you wouldn't go to the lecture last Wednesday night?
I know, Dora.
Preferring to play cards, actually avoiding an educational lecture for cards.
Well, Dora, you're absolutely right.
Of course I am.
Well, there are 9 more lectures, aren't there?
Yes.
Well, I want you to know I'm not going to miss one single one of them. Nothing could keep me away. Absolutely nothing.
Well, I should think not. My goodness, I wouldn't miss it for anything. Yes. Why, that Mr. Hickson is the most interesting man I've ever listened to. I learned so much. Why, I just can't wait until next Wednesday.
Mother.
Yes, dear?
I forgot to tell you. Mrs. Whiteman called. She wants to know if you can come to her hen party next Wednesday night.
Oh, I'd love to. I'll call her right back.
But, Dora, Wednesday night, what about the lecture?
Oh, Melvin, you can't expect me to give up a hen party for an old lecture, can you?
Oh, for the love of...
A Date with Judy, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from October 22nd, 1946. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.